Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the second of these Football Book Club specials. As of next week, we're going to be releasing new remote recorded episodes direct from quarantine every week for the foreseeable future. We've got some great books lined up. Sean Goethe's, Marcus Hanneman's Premier League Diary. I can't wait to read that. But today, we're bringing you another slightly different episode as we read Perry Groves's We All Live in a Perry Groves World with the great man himself, Perry Groves. The episode was recorded at the beautiful Notley's Golf Club in Essex in an echoey function room, which was genuinely, intermittently being attacked by crows outside throughout the whole recording. So that's great. Make sure to listen out for them. And on that note, cue intro. Perry Groves, Arsenal and TalkSport legend, played on the wing for Colchester, Arsenal, Southampton and Dagenham and Redbridge. 331 career appearances, 49 goals, two-time league winner with Arsenal, one Football League Cup and, of course, author. But let's see what the book club thought in today's The Football Book Club.
You get home and then you like squirt each other with ketchup for a bit.
Why are footballers so psychopathic towards cats?
Their Cruel Intentions, it's one of the few films I've actually walked out from.
So you're telling us the stones in the foreskin was real?
If they had the chance to play for their boyhood club, they would play like I did.
Hello and welcome to the Football Book Club, the only book club where, instead of literary classics, each week we read yet another footballer's autobiography. Less Shakespeare, more David Weir. I'm James Bug, and over the weeks we're going to be reading Alan Dunn's Done It the Hard Way, Brendan Rodgers' The Road to Paradise, and Peter Beardsley's My Newcastle Dream Team. But today we're going to be reading Perry Groves' We All Live in a Perry Groves World, and reading it with me, I'm joined by Jack Bernhardt.
Hello.
James Balgin.
Hello.
And Perry Groves.
Hello.
Did we get everything right in that fact file?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah, yeah, but I think you should have said more Craig Shakespeare than Shakespeare, but apart from
that. Oh, yeah, that's a Craig good point.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You can't correct our
getting notes already.
I was more worried about like the stats and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Getting notes. Wow. So we're here at Notley's Golf Club. You good at golf, Perry?
I hack about.
Okay.
Fair, and then, I'm a believer that if golf was invented again,
yeah,
it would only be 14 holes.
Okay.
Because people who play well,
yeah,
you end up panicking about last four holes of your score. And if you played crap, then you think after 14, I can't wait to get in. So I think it'd be 14 holes now. It's about right.
Have you spoken to the club about this? Like seeing if they're just knock off the last
I've actually
just bulldozed
it through to quite a few people and just got blank looks. From
Pitch and putt. That should be
that's
your
it,
game.
Yeah.
That should
James
be your game.
Is obsessed with pitch and putt.
I'm good at pitch and putt and table football, the two non-sports.
That's so, it.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Not exactly decathlete, is it really?
No.
He's hoping at some point.
I need to find eight more sports.
Or one. To have your own triathlon. Just
Me doing that than that. And I'm quite good at Sabutio.
That feels like a similar thing to table football.
Perry, we're going to go over to our friends at Amazon to see what the reviews are saying. You like reviewers, Perry?
All depends.
Fingers crossed.
What they are.
The book has 4.4 stars out of 5 on Amazon, which is good from 48 reviews.
I'll tell you what, I thought it was out. You can say out of 10 then.
Out of 100.
No, that is really good. I mean,
Jermaine Pennant got horrendously low, but that's a terrible book.
We're not here to slag off Jermaine Pennant.
No,
honestly,
no. Can't be doing that.
No, we wouldn't do that. But his book had lower review. There's a 5-star review from Salvatore Parisi titled "Che Signale Resaconto di un vero Ghana e Guna." Do you know you had a lot of Italian fans?
I do now.
Yeah. Any idea what that means, Jack?
No, I've been doing Duolingo Italian for quite a while.
Sure.
So I think it means Please help me, my son is dying. Because that's usually what it is in Duolingo. Yeah, it's something terrible.
That's what Gana Iguna
Gana means. Iguna, I think, does mean, yeah, hospital.
Wow. And then you got another one from Tommy Tranquillo, another Italian name.
I swear, a lot of these, I think they're afraid of repercussions.
Shouldn't it be Tommiso Tranquillo?
Let's call him that. Tommiso Tranquillo says, 5 stars, either way, he's a fan. Perry Groves, truly a man amongst men. Perry didn't try to be anything other than what he was. The book is frank, self-deprecating, and a thoroughly entertaining read, unlike most football autobiographies.
Again, another slam.
A real slam, but not to you. Very complimentary.
That is, to be fair, because I know it says it's quite self-deprecating, but I think it's just true. Because when I first got approached about doing the book, which from Black Publishing, I was working for Franny Lee, designing playgrounds for
You mentioned
in the book. And I was driving down the M6, the Midland Expressway, and when the tolls had just opened, so no one else on there. And then I had like a car phone, and I just said hello, and Geezer went, "Hello, it's John McShane here from Blake Publishing." I went, "Yeah, all right." He said, "We'd like to do your autobiography." So I just said, "Fuck off, Chris," because I thought it was my mate. I went, "Yeah, whatever," and put the phone down. Honestly, because then you're thinking, well, I was in the scheme of things at Arsenal.
Yeah,
I did all right. I was like an average player in a massive team. Right? Yeah. So you had international players, which are the top ones. Mm-hmm. Then there was me, and then there were the ones that weren't any good, and George Graham got rid of. So I did all right for like 6-7 years.
Well, yeah, you were there 7 years. Yeah.
So then you just think, why would someone want to do my autobiography? And at the time, Blake Publishing were doing sort of a little bit off the wall autobiographies. I think they did.
We need to talk to Blake Publishing.
Jordan Katie Price's first ever autobiography.
Okay,
which she did that. They did Mad Dog Adair, who was like the what side he was on in Ireland. I'm not sure, but he was like one of the hitmen.
Wow.
And then he did Mad Frankie Fraser.
What an unusual bibliography.
Well,
collect.
Randomly, I was in a, they had a, an end of year sort of do, Blake Publishing. I was in a lift, and it was like, I've never done drugs, never smoked, never done E or anything like that. But I think it was probably the nearest thing that I experienced I had to an acid trip, because I got in a lift at this do. And there was Mad Dog Adair, the right hitman, and Mad Frankie Fraser. And I'm just sitting like that, and it was a bit quiet, and they were both, because they're hard men. So I just went, "Oh, right, boys," like that. I said, "To be fair, which one is the maddest?" And it didn't go down particularly well at all. And I thought, that was like floor three.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to be going down to the ground, and I thought, I could be basement here if I'm there. So I got off at floor one, and I said, "Good night, boys." Yeah. And just complete silence. So it didn't go down.
It's a shame Katie Price wasn't in there as well.
Yeah.
She might have been the hardest of the lot. Loads of questions, playing little games, and have some fun along the way. That sound good, Perry?
And I'll see if I can get rid of our alien friends.
Yeah, let's get rid of
those
crows. What is going on? This interview's doomed. So we love the book. We really enjoy reading it. Just in terms of writing a book, you got a phone call saying they want to do that. How did it end up being to do with Arsenal official membership themselves? Was it given away by the club?
Well, I didn't write to mention it, but you three are a load of cheapskates, to be fair, because you've got that for nothing. That was a free copy.
This book. Well, that's not true. I paid £2 to some person in like Lincoln to buy this book.
Well, the person in Lincoln has done you like a kipper. The person in Lincoln would have got it for nothing. So they're £2 up. So happy days.
So if you're an Arsenal membership person,
They sent. I think I got a call because, lucky enough, at the timing, you like to think it was very creative and clever marketing. Uh-huh. But Ashley Cole bought his book out at the same time.
I was going to ask you this. Yes. I saw this on Wikipedia. Thing.
Yeah, and he went on the how unfortunately was, and it was an outrage that they only offered him £65,000 a week, and he nearly crashed his car.
Yeah.
And so it was. The perception of him was he was a little bit up his own backside.
Sure.
So then my book was just like, which I'm absolutely 100% honest with, is that I was privileged to play for. It was a different end of scale.
Sure.
I was unbelievably privileged to play for my team, my club, you know what I mean? So you had different ends of the scale.
Yeah.
So lucky enough, the Gooners got behind my book, which was great.
The Gooners e Gunners.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Is Tom Oakeshott just come back in? So then I think Stephen Gerrard's come out around about the same time. And yeah. So it, because of it was a bit raw,
yeah.
and I'd stop playing so I could cane people.
Yeah.
Whereas in books, it's not worth reading books from players who are still playing because they don't give an opinion on anybody. They just go away. He was all right.
Yeah, you
don't
kind of found that.
You want the nitty gritty stuff. So yeah. so they got behind it. So it sold really well. It went into the bestsellers, which was great. And it just, because of the book and because of doing the interviews, then I got a second career like in the media, which is amazing. But on the Yellow Ones, Blake Publishing rang me up and said, Perry, just had an order from Arsenal. They want 100,000 copies as their own print. They're going to give it out to their members,
you know, okay.
As a Christmas present, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm ahead of thinking, excellent, 50p
like
royalties. Oh. I'm in for 50 grand. Right? Yeah. And they went, no, Perry, they don't, because they're doing 100,000 print run. They've actually just paid for the printing. You don't get nothing.
What? How does that work?
Right, exactly, because they didn't pay. They just paid to have it printed, right? So,
as if I need another reason to like Arsenal.
Yeah, so right. So, oh, the thing is, but I'm having, so I'm getting no royalties, right? I think, all right, don't matter. Because there's 100,000 copies, said, I'll go back to the top of the bestsellers list.
Yeah.
And then that might give it more traction to someone who went, no, sorry, doesn't count. Any,
oh my
any
gosh.
Block orders don't count.
Yeah.
So thanks for bringing and reminding me of
oh,
that.
Oh, God, sorry. But the red one, you get royalties on that.
Yes, okay. Yeah, but okay. that's...
So that only was, by the red one.
Yes, only by the hardback red or paperback doesn't really matter. Okay. As long as it's a dark cover.
Yeah, no,
dark
the red cover. One. With, you're in a hat, with you wearing the hat. Yeah.
That's the silly, look, I look like a bit of a Smurf sort of thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, well...
That's good to know.
Ruins this book.
We do talk about how much we like this cover, so...
Yeah, we do. I love the name as well. After a Chant.
Also, oh, yes. Yeah, after... That's the only thing that I had no say over was the title.
Okay.
Oh, really? Because they asked me about the title because I had final edit, basically. So when you... The manuscript. So I had a ghostwriter, John McShane.
Yeah.
So I couldn't remember. So we went for it chronologically. So yeah. I watched videos of the gate of the sea. In the old days, you got videos of the seasons, you know, the highlights.
Sure, yeah.
So I watched that, went for it chronologically. And then that would trigger a memory of what happened after a game or before a game or where we went to Marbella.
That's really sure. interesting.
Yeah, so...
it does... It's so detailed. It's, like, one of the most... Probably the densest, like... books for anecdotes in the whole
thing
we've read.
There's so many of them. Like they have, maybe people have like four anecdotes over their career,
right?
And then they spread them over like 200 pages. Whereas yours, every page, it's like, oh my gosh, there's so many stories,
and they're connected to games. I think that's a really that's
well. That was my again with John McShane, who was a brilliant. He was used to work for the Daily Mirror, and then he started doing autobiographies as well.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So my only proviso was, not that I had a lot of say. To be honest, I said, look, it has to be. I've got to have final say-so and final edit what goes in.
Yeah.
But it has to be how I speak.
Yeah.
You have to read it because, again, you read a lot of books and I read books and I just think, oh, shut up, you didn't know that word.
Yeah, you
think you're not clever enough to know, like, you know, anti-disestablishmentarianism or whatever, right? You think,
sure. you've got Which no comes chance. Up all the time in Jermaine Pennant's
book. Genuinely. Yeah, genuinely. Non-stop
that's the name of the, that's the title of the book.
Yeah. It's a really big book. It has to be because of the title.
Because anything in there, everything there is true. There's some things that I've said about people they might not be very happy about.
Okay.
But I said, well, they can come to me because there's not one lie in there.
Did anyone come to you?
Nope. No. Oh, a lot of players were panicking.
Okay.
Yes, a lot of my teammates, teammates were having a major panic up. But I gave them all the way out because I said out of a squad of 20, there'd only be 10% that would be what we call straight batters, which would be not everything.
Yeah.
So there was always... Two could say, that's me, I'm straight batter.
Okay.
So I gave them all the way out.
I see
yeah,
you mean.
The cricket analogy, yeah.
Yes. Straight batter.
Did Paul Merson think he was one of those guys?
What's that?
Did Paul Merson think
Paul Merson was obviously one of those guys.
But you think the title wasn't your decision. Did you have other titles?
I wanted...
Did you have a punny title?
No, I didn't. I had... I wanted There's Only One Terry Grouse.
Oh my god!
See, I thought that was quite good.
That is good, exactly.
That would have been very, very good.
And a great in joke, because that was Terry Grouse, just for people listening, was the name a local paper.
No, it was
a national paper.
National paper,
yeah. That was it, sorry. Yeah. When you made your debut for Colchester, they called you Terry Grouse.
Yes. Said, I played, my debut was against Bournemouth, and Bournemouth were top of the league at the time, in the old fourth
division. This is for Colchester.
For Colchester United.
Yeah.
And I was only 16, just before my 17th birthday. Yeah. And then in the old days, there wasn't the blanket coverage of like League Two. Now it's Division Four, Division Three.
Sure.
You only got one or two reports of the lower league games in the papers, and you had to go probably that third or fourth page in there because they were top. It was Colchester against Bournemouth, and that's when they said it. And they said, teenage debutante, Terry Grouse, showed great material. And I'm like that. I had a big, like, loads and loads of papers, like about 15 papers on the Sunday morning, like that. And reading it going, are you kidding me?
Did you read through each paper being like, maybe it's just that one?
Yeah. Oh, no, there was a few mentioned. The game was mentioned, but the only reason I got mentioned because I had a shot and hit the inside of the post.
Right.
And then so that's why they mentioned it. Like, and I'm thinking, are you joking me? I said, national newspaper. It's all my mates.
Yeah.
Again, there's no mobile phones. Yeah, it's just landline.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's Terry Grouse. Yeah, I know. All pissing themselves. And then for a little while, playing for culture. Tez!
Yeah.
Grousey! So I was like, yeah. So I thought, there's only one Terry Grouse who's been quite good.
I wonder how Terry Grouse's career panned out. How he's getting on now. I've got a general question. Why are footballers so psychopathic towards cats?
What, is it most, what, other footballers as well?
Again, we're not going to bring Jermaine Pennant over and over again.
Right.
Jermaine Pennant kills, what's his name? Jesse Metcalf, who was, no, Jennifer Metcalf, who was on Hollyoaks, who he went out with. He kills a cat accidentally.
Right.
You put itching powder on a cat. What's that? Do you like cats? Your cat guy?
You know what? No, I like the cat's attitude because they don't give a backside about anything. They're like, they think they own you, right?
Yeah,
so I quite like, whereas dogs obviously are just subservient and they don't see you, but cat's attitude is like, yeah, whatever.
So you can respect cats. You can't respect the dog.
Yeah, well, I love the dog, oh, right? Yeah. But the dog's, cat's attitude, I like it. They've got sort of sneering.
With groundsman, and it was his wife's
Tom
cat.
Chaney and Margaret, cat. And I'm allergic to cats as well.
So everything was adding up.
So the breed, I get asthma. I've got exercise use asthma, like with a blue pump sort of thing. I said, please don't let the cat in my room.
This cat had it coming, basically.
But yeah, but it became a bit of a face-off with me and the cat. Do you know what I mean? Honestly, it was like, he was looking at me thinking, I'm going in your room and you don't want me in there.
Yeah.
And like, Margaret's letting him in. And then I actually think the cat did it on purpose. I think, you know.
It'd be great to hear the cat or Margaret side of the story.
Yeah.
When is the cat's autobiography coming out?
So I just thought,
Blake Publishing too?
Yeah. The cat. I just thought, I've got to do something, so I just got itching powder and that was it. And the cat just had
to. Where did you get, like, from, like a joke shop or something?
Yeah, it was a joke shop in Colchester.
Nice.
And by the way, obviously I've grown up since, I just like this.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
it's not something you're doing these days.
No, not at all. No, but I do still have stare off with cats. Because where we live, I have this, and there's a ginger one as well. Ginger Tom, obviously, we've got this connection, being ginger. So I quite like, but he just stares at me, just like as if to say, I'm on your lawn.
Have you got anything against crows as well?
The birds are all right. I like a bit of birds, so I'm there, okay. But
As you mentioned in the book.
Yes, again, that's a 70s and 80s sort of reference.
Sure. slightly different to this. Being an Essex boy myself, I love all the references to Shenfield, Colchester, Brentwood. I'm from Chelmsford.
I was there the other day, actually.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Bond Street, very nice.
It's very, the new Bond Street. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
John Lewis.
The Everyman. We go, lucky enough, matinees, like about 2:30.
Sure.
And we're probably the youngest, me and my Mrs. Joe's.
This is the nichest this podcast has ever got. We're talking about Chelmsford matinees.
I love Chelmsford. Did you ever go a night out in Chelmsford?
Yes, Duke's nightclub.
Duke's, Duke's closed down now, sadly.
Yeah.
Went there once.
Not surprised.
No.
That was all right.
There's a specific one.
Wednesday night, the Duke's. Yeah, it was in the old days, which isn't a very good terminology, obviously, but it was...
Student night?
No, grab a granny night.
Okay,
So,
do you know the person... Jenny, the person who told me about grab a granny nights was my grandma.
Was she in there?
She's telling me what she might have been.
I don't want to hear. The thing is, as well, the grab a granny night, the ladies in question were probably only... Like, 40. They're not purple rinses, but, or like 65.
We are talking about Chelmsford, so it could still be.
It could be, exactly. Yeah.
I think I've driven on the road that you built in Ipswich.
The A14?
Orwell Bridge. Outside of the,
Ipswich got a mention too.
Yeah, Ipswich got a mention.
Because so did Middlesbrough. So I'm from Middlesbrough, so I ticked us all off.
Yeah. There you go.
Thank you.
Middlesbrough, Ipswich, and Chelmsford. They all got a mention.
We'll go in there.
How nice for us. Although it wasn't Middlesbrough where you did your cruciate.
Yeah. It was,
So not happy memory.
Essen Park. Yeah, that was there. Yeah, I did actually. Thanks for me. I forgot I'd built the oil bridge.
Yeah. What do you think of that road?
I don't like driving on it. I'm not going to lie to you.
A bit scared?
No, yeah, a little bit. I'm bad at driving.
A bit flaky, a bit windy.
It's just a scary road. But like, I can appreciate that someone has built it and you've built it.
Well, we When we went. Basically,
I've actually started
well,
living in
the well, my Isambard Kingdom Brunel all of a sudden, yeah, right? Yeah. But,
we're interviewing him afterwards,
exactly. Yeah. But I'd forgot I had constructed the Oral Bridge.
Yeah. You single-handedly constructed
the Oral Bridge. Yeah, exactly.
We're giving you that shout out, just in case anyone didn't know that. But then you go from Colchester to Arsenal.
Yeah.
Big step up. What was it like moving from kind of... they were Division... How was four. It? Division 4 at the time. So that's League 2 nowadays.
Yes.
Yeah, so they that is a big, big step up to the team in the old First Division.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you find that?
Exciting, nervous. I don't care what anybody says. I don't believe sportsmen who don't get nervous. Yeah, I went from being Colchester's best player or joint best player, along with Tony Adcock, who was another ginger, was playing up front, who people were interested in. Then obviously being the best player by a long way.
Yeah.
To being bottom of the rung of the ladder. Mm-hmm. Sorry, bottom of the ladder. A massive football club like Arsenal. Do you know what I mean? So then people looking around, no one knew who I was. They're like, who's this like ginger, but from like I looked like one of the Clampets like turned up and Charlie Nicholas and Viv Anderson. I can remember and Graham Ricks when I pulled up in London Coney. And I had an MGB GT, and that's when the car...
Don't three cars break on you at once.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Every car that you come
I'm not good with cars, again. As we found out today as well.
Yeah, and before the recording, we found out that Perry's car blew up this week.
I'm probably the only person, you have to go on Top Gear or something, but who's had a Japanese car, which engines can go for 400,000 miles, actually, engine has blown up. I've never met anybody else.
Cars?
I have no idea, honestly. Sorry, but
you now you have a nice van now, so you know.
Yeah. Well, that's another story as well. I thought I'd hired a car and I hadn't, so I've got a white van. So if you need any parcels delivered on the way home, it's not a problem.
But sorry, you were saying you pulled up at the
And the MGB GT wasn't built for long journeys, obviously. Sure. Yeah. So, and it was just before. Lucky enough, when I signed with Coach, so this is a bit boring because we're talking about roads again.
The
bypass of Chelmsford had just been completed on the A12.
That was the first mention of Chelmsford.
You got
very excited
through the Army and Navy store, like roundabout.
Yeah,
and then the last part of the M25, which is Norbottle Road.
Yeah.
The last part of that to join up was Junction 21 to Junction 22, which was South Mimms to London Coney.
You've got great knowledge of roads.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah. I feel like I've lived on the M25.
Okay, sure.
So I remember just pulling up in the car park and there was all steam coming out of the engine like that. I'm nervous anyway, and it's like sputtering in.
Yeah.
And then parked up, and then Graham Ricks, Viv Anderson, and Charlie Nicholas stood there. Obviously, but I know they're big stars. So I went, all right. So I said, you're right, mate, like that. So I'm a bit flustered. I said, this is London Coney, like that. They went, yes, they said the groundsman's hut's over there. They thought I was one of the ground staff. I just signed.
You didn't play along for a bit and go, all right, let's go.
And then like Charlie Nicholas went, oh, you're that Terry Grouse, aren't you?
Must have been amazing, just, like, because it's your boyhood club, like turning up.
I didn't tell anybody. You know when you see players kiss the, like Robbie Keane has kissed like every club's badge on his shirt, and he like, oh,
boyhood club.
I've always wanted to be a Wolves player. Yeah. I've always wanted to play for Spurs. I've always wanted to play. You think, oh, leave off, mate. So I think a lot of fans obviously knew the link between Vic Groves, who was captain in the 50s, my dad's uncle, and then all the way through to like Perry. Then you go, I wonder if that's anything to do with Vic Groves. So they... Die Hard Gooners probably knew.
Yeah.
Not the general public.
Sure, you got...
So.
So
I then, in a few interviews, then I think the way that I come across, people knew that I was a proper gooner. I was there's a difference between being an Arsenal fan and a gooner.
Yeah.
A gooner's like religion where from your mums and dads and granddads, it comes all the way through. Do you know what I mean?
That's the gooner and then the e-gunner.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I was... I can remember speaking to my dad on in one of the red telephone. Again, you guys probably don't even know what red telephone box is, do you? Do you know what I mean?
We know where they are. We've been outside the house.
I can remember phoning him up because I thought I was going again in the book. I thought I was going to Crystal Palace. So I didn't realise going to the Gooners. And then signing and coming back, coming out of the down the marble staircase, marble halls, coming out. And I think I got on phone my dad. And he was running a pub in Ipswich at the time. And so I said, right, Dad, you went, right, boy, because he never called me by my name, which is a bit worrying because I was an only child. It's like, a bit lazy, Dad. It's not
just that is.
You're right, I want to say Terry Grouse.
Yeah, exactly. So, right, boy, he went, I went, just signed for Arsenal, Dad. And he said, fuck off. No, you haven't. I said, no, Dad, I have. I've just signed for Arsenal. And he went quiet. He because yeah, I think he only said well played in from 6 to I was like 16 twice. You know what I mean? Because he's biggest fan, biggest critic, and my best coach. And if it weren't for my dad, then I wouldn't have done anything at all. He took me everywhere. And then I went, I've made it, Dad. And he just went quiet again. He went, no, you ain't. You've just started, sunshine.
Oh.
And I went, what? He went, you're nobody at Arsenal. He said, you've got to prove it all. And that's, again, it's like, thanks for that, Dad.
Yeah.
give us a couple of minutes.
Yeah. Cool, okay, yeah, well.
Yeah.
By the end of your career, though, was he like, you have done it?
No, I'll tell you what, randomly, we played, it's typical me old man. I was lucky enough to play for Arsenal legends against Real Madrid legends at the Emirates.
Yeah.
In one in the internet. Yeah, I think it was last September. I think it was on. Yeah, my memory's gone anyway. Sure. But so playing at the Emirates, there was 45,000 there.
Wow.
Which is, so I'm playing with Gilberto Silva, Perez, do you know what I mean? Jens Lehmann. So I've gone back into fan goon, like silly fan gooner mode. And it was quite humbling that they knew I was. Like I said, we stayed in the hotel the night before and we're playing. So, and we were lucky enough to have an executive box each for your family. So it's a great day out for them, like being in a box, me running out. And I made sure I tried to get myself semi-fit and lose a little bit of weight because you don't want to be the fattest footballer on there. Right? So that was all right. So got on, played for about half an hour, which was pretty cool. Yeah. Like, I go up to the executive box where family are. So walking like that. So I walked in and I got a little round of applause from family because it's big for them as well. And it was quite cool. They went right up. So Lewis... Obviously, my son, he just went with his eyes. I know it don't come from it, with his eyes looking towards my dad like that. So I went, like, Dad, he went, fucking first touch. He said, it's coming off the thigh. You give the ball away like that. I went, Dad, I'm 54.
You're probably up against like Guti or something.
Yeah, yeah. Like it was, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't dribble rounds the dad. No,
it was, it was Butcher Grano actually broke my ribs. But it's like, but I just said, Dad, I'm 54. Let it go. I'm 54 years of age.
I don't know if Martin Scorsese is interested in making an adaptation.
We all want,
but he should.
Yeah.
There's some bits. Yeah.
I would be
glad. Yeah.
Who would you want to play?
Probably a young Robert Redford, I'd say.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, like the ginger
thing,
theme.
They could do a thing like in The Irishman, where they make them younger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that'd be Robert Redford then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. CGI, we'll write it down.
Whether we're going to go for a ginger perm or not, I'm not sure.
But right. Okay.
No. Yeah. They can CGI.
And by the way, that was all. Mine was all natural. People kept telling about in the old days. Perms was like in. Mine was all.
Graham Souness does that as well. Graham Souness in his book is like, everyone was like, it's a perm.
Graham Souness is have a day off. That's it. that's curlers and rollers all over that.
Surely.
Oh, I really want to start a beef with you and Graham Souness over your hair.
Do you want to start a beef with Graham Souness?
He's all right, actually, Graham. Yeah, I'll get on all right with him, yeah.
Sure,
I was at a wedding with him with Graham Souness and Baron McGuigan either side. And you just think, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. And Katie Price as well.
Said, I want another deal.
Yeah.
Did you go, which of you three is the
maddest? Yeah. I think Graham wins that one.
I think read his book. what I was going to say though about the Scorsese thing was, there's some characters in it, like Stan Flashman.
Yes,
the ticket tell.
Yeah.
Honestly, it is like Goodfellas or something like this guy. The way you describe him, because he's eating prawns all the time, which I found really funny, but keeps money in a fridge.
Yeah.
And
cracking.
The thing is, he was hiding the money or the cash in a fridge.
Yeah.
So that burglars came in and they wouldn't look in the fridge.
Yes.
And I said, yeah, but Stan is in the front room. It's a bit of a giveaway, really.
So normally you got your TV, you got your sofas, you got your fridge. Let's move on from that, don't worry.
But it's the way it ends the story. Is like you mentioned how it kind of has that kind of Goodfellas comeuppance. It's like before his death, he's reduced to living in a semi in Ilford and he had to leave Barnet and stuff. It was brilliant. It made me. There were loads of bits like that which felt like
It felt like a story. Like it felt like a not like it had been made up, but it felt like it had like a drive and a narrative.
Yeah.
To it.
Oh right.
I didn't understand.
No, it was just. I did write a book when I was 15.
Okay.
Oh, really?
It's called Conspiracy to Murder.
Okay.
Part of my English project.
Can we read that on the podcast?
Yeah.
I don't think it went to publication.
Okay. It doesn't have to.
How many cats got...
That was about Cat Killer, actually.
Oh, really?
No.
Got so excited. Oh, well.
That whole book?
I thought it was quite good, but obviously 14, 15 year olds.
I want to read this more than anything.
Obviously, you get an exercise book, so you just say, right, see if you can write a book.
Sure, yeah.
And I actually really enjoyed it.
We have a segment on the show where we do a dramatic reading, usually.
Okay.
And, guys, can you cue the dramatic music?
Cue dramatic music.
Thank you very much, Jack.
What, have you got the title?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Good point. This story is called Perry Groves Gets Dropped by an Old Age Pensioner. I was in trouble myself when we played at Liverpool at Highbury that season. I felt my Achilles tendon tighten and I couldn't run. I went down and practically crawled off the pitch. Gary Lewin ran around and looked at me and said he didn't think it was a calf injury, so it could be my Achilles.
That mental image of Gary Lewin running around, crawling on the floor.
Me crawling like a cat.
Yeah.
Like a dead cat. Like.
Maybe we put itching powder on it. That's the way you deal with a cat, I think.
I can't think he was sprinting round.
Okay.
Because me being down the scale of important players.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Maybe if it was Merce.
Okay.
He'd all sprinted. Like sprint along.
Yeah, so I think he was like a gentle amble. I thought his little physio's bag.
Let's let one of the OAPs.
Yeah. Tony Groves, he'll be right.
Well, in come the OAPs. It was soaking wet, and these two old St. John's ambulance men came to help me get back to the dressing room. I don't know how old these two were, but one looked about 85, and the other looked around 90.
I think I'm doing them a favour, actually.
They put me on a chair with wheels. Wheelchair.
Well, no. See, don't be so facetious.
Sorry.
Is it only two wheels at the back? So you go like that.
Like
so
Hannibal Lecter.
Yes, you wheel it.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly it. Exactly it. Yes. See, now you've got a different image now, haven't you?
Yeah.
I've been made to look a fool. They put me on a chair with wheels and strapped me in so I couldn't move. And then this pair of twats set up pushing me around the ground. And
they were, actually, to be fair.
I love. So wait, are they twats for what? For what's about to happen, or are they just in general?
Well, I don't know. I didn't know them personally. It was just their general demeanour and the way that they were. And really, you should have more respect for our old age pensioners.
Yes,
yeah,
agreed.
But they were a pair of twats.
Not these two.
We support the elderly.
Oh, absolutely.
But the way I say pair of twats, does that sound like the way you wanted this book to be read? Like
yes,
the way
that's exactly
cool, as long as I'm getting the tone. Worse was to come. The back wheel of the chair caught on the corner of the pitch where it was raised above the level of the track alongside it, and I toppled over right in front of the Liverpool fans in the corner at the clock end. My face landed in a puddle and I got burns from being dragged along the track.
I nearly drowned. I could have drowned.
Well, this is what you
said. You could have drowned on national TV.
Yeah.
With Liverpool fans goading you.
And the thing is, when have a verbal volley, which I gave them with expletives everywhere, it doesn't have the same effect when there's just bubbles coming up from the puddle.
Imagine if those were your last words.
Trying to swear and there's nothing. Do you know what I mean?
Can you imagine the news report of it being Perry Groves has died today,
yeah,
drowned in a puddle in front of thousands of Liverpool fans?
Yeah, the puddle was at least
been arrested,
3 inches deep.
I like the idea of you drowning and Gary Lewin ran over and going, nah, you're probably not going to drown.
Yeah. Just leave don't worry.
No,
don't
as
worry,
I've right. drowned and they're doing CPR, then you do that substitution.
Yeah.
Do that,
yeah.
Roll your hands like that. Yeah. Thinking, yeah. Put someone else on.
Signal the bench. Warm up those.
Yeah. We just do a cross.
Groves are only going to be blood and drown.
Drown, exactly. Yeah.
I must have been there for 30 seconds, although it seemed like ages, because they eventually managed to get me upright again. All the players who weren't on the pitch were in the dugout or the paddock area, and they were watching this and pissing themselves. Another OAP joined the two who had been in charge of me so far, and eventually the three of them got me up the steps that led up to the tunnel and into the changing room.
I love the idea that they were like, let's get a third old age pension. That's what this situation needs.
I think it was he was part of auxiliary staff, you know, just in case.
Yeah.
But how old was this guy, the third guy?
Well, the third guy.
Yeah, if he was the reserve, he must be
110. And he was like, definitely, he could have been an extra in Dad's army.
Okay, right.
They're
sure.
All like, I could have retired ages ago, but they keep pulling me back in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The club doctor came to see me, took one look, and said, "Lift him up, so I could go on the treatment table." These senile bastards said, 1, 2, 3, lift, but couldn't budge me. Then they tried again with the same result. "Is this Jeremy Beadle or something?" I said, and they said, "What?" So I pointed out, because they're obviously too stupid to realise it, that I was still strapped in the chair. No wonder they couldn't lift me up. Oh, the joys of being a football star.
It's like,
very good. Excellent bet.
Where were your hands? That's what I keep wondering.
No, you wasn't listening to the narrative that we
James
strapped in.
Oh, they were strapped
so,
like
so
that.
You got strapped,
so
did
thing.
You have like a mask as well?
What, no.
Not obviously a football style thing like that, Still got any scars from that?
Well, on that, just mentally.
do you still see, like,
St. John's? I just snarl at them like that. I know, you have evil intent. I know what they're about.
Cats and St. John's ambulance now. Yes. Time
always
you
staring
just stare
at
them out.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, and that was this week's dramatic reading.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment.
Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
One guy I want to talk about a lot, you mentioned him already, Paul Merson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. There's not a lot to talk about, really.
Okay, cool. We'll stop
just
there.
A general, like, sort of average guy.
Yeah.
The meal.
I've heard that. Yeah, it seems that way.
There's a great story with you in Marbella, I think.
Yes.
When you go, you find a busker.
Me and Merson.
Yeah.
So we paid him for the day to come round with us because we thought he was brilliant. We did a. At one end of my bar, so we do each bar like a pint or a half on each bar. So I went, we'll give you double what you'd earn in a day to come round with us. So it went, all right. And he's thinking, oh, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So every bar we went in, other people, again, it was a reaction of other people, didn't think it was great as what we thought it was. You know what I mean? Long, long time ago. We're like, bye, Mr. So then it was once it was third bar. He said, no, this is good. I like this. It's a good one. Went, okay. So in the fifth bar, we went, come on, mate. You got to play something else. He went, I know nothing else. We went, what? He said, I have one song. Honestly, like that. And one song, you've only heard. Exactly. So we're like, oh, piss off, mate. You mustn't. He went, no. So in the end, we had to pay him to go.
I can't understand how a guy could make a living and like be just, on like book gigs.
It's quite a long song. So maybe people just walked past him and were like, oh, he's at that section
of
the song.
Yeah, but he just goes from...
He just moves around.
He just goes from one bar to the other. If you think about it, logically, you don't really need more than one song, do you?
If he nails that one
and everybody knows it.
Was it Don McLean?
He has only got one song.
Exactly, yeah.
But then from there, you break into a water park. Which sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Not a disused one, but an unused one.
Because
it was out of season, obviously.
Sure,
you get chased about by someone who works there.
Well, we got up the ladder to the top and went, which we thought was hilarious, and the geezer comes running out, obviously swearing in Spanish and raving his arms, and we're like, I'll leave off, mate, what's the matter with you? But we didn't realise it was under repair, so as you go down one of the flumes, it actually was nothing.
Was there no...
70 foot up.
Was there no water?
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, that was it. It was this year, it was being in repair.
Was really
it was
getting burned all the way.
Yeah, no, but you can still slide down.
Okay.
Like,
just, like, I've never broken into
a water park.
Might surprise water you about me.
Yes.
You need to get these tips.
I need to
going.
Live a little.
Yeah.
Perry, can we go after this and you like we'll break into like, Aqualand or something? Yeah. Riverside Ice.
But then at the end of that, you get home and then you like squirt each other with ketchup for a bit.
He thought that was really funny. Yeah, it was like a scene. It wasn't exactly like a few dollars more. Do you know what I mean? Like a gunfight scene.
Yeah,
but it was the old fashioned. You know, you get the tomato sauce.
Like a chip shop or whatever.
Yeah, but it's in the shape of a tomato, isn't it? With the green stem bit.
Yeah.
So because we were just obviously been on it all day and pissed, so he thought it was hilarious. And I had particularly good Ray-Bans on at the time. That annoyed me a little bit. They weren't moody ones; they were proper ones.
Right.
I remember him just thinking it was hilarious while just picking up and going, and squirt it on my face.
I mean, it is funny.
It is funny. Yeah.
It is.
It sounds like a great day. It genuinely sounds like a really really fun
but
day.
It's just,
and ending with ketchup was always the bit where you sort of got to the end of the chapter and you're like, oh, okay, end with a bit of ketchup squirting. Why not?
But again, it's me as well. Obviously, it's funny for everybody else, apart from you, right? Yeah. And it was makes it funnier because if you get the reaction from the person who has been ketchuped, that makes it even funnier.
Is that the term?
It is ketchup. Exactly. Yeah.
There are some weird, like pranks that go on throughout the book. Not from you.
Yeah, mostly, you seem pretty clear of it.
At you or near you?
Both, I'd say.
Yeah.
Because I was. Our team spirit was brilliant. I hope that comes across a bit as well.
Because
there wasn't a hierarchy. Like, there was no big time Charlies there.
Sure.
There was like, because I had two eras really. I had the Charlie Nicholas, Graham Ricks, Kenny Sansom era, were all established internationals. And then George Graham ended up getting rid of them because there was more money than him. So he thought, right, you can go. And probably come into like the end of their like careers.
Sure.
Then he went and got the young players came in, like Merce and Dave Rocastle and Michael Thomas, a bit of hunger.
Yep.
Then like Lee Dixon, Alan Smith, Steve Bold. So we had a real good sort of, so there was no, in the banter side of it, everybody could give everybody stick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, you can't say that. Right, he struggled actually when he came.
Yeah, you mentioned
that. Yeah, because he was the big star at Palace with Mark Bright and they could cane everybody and then never got any stick back.
Yeah.
But we're like, no, especially if you're the new signing, you're going to get it.
Yeah.
So we're going to bring you down a peg or two because we're all the same here.
Yeah.
And it's how clever you can be. It's deflecting. So if you're getting stick, then you just pick on someone else.
Yeah.
And it does seem like, I mean, it seems mad as well. Some of the pranks are really weird.
Yes.
There's one in particular. Yeah. I think we're all thinking about
it. Yes, I know, exactly. Yeah. It wasn't a cat at the time, though.
No.
Is that what you're talking about?
Anders Limper?
Oh, no. I thought you were talking about the Boldy one. Sorry, no, not that one.
That's for
very
later.
Similar to the cat, yeah. But
the one?
That might not have been the book, probably.
Oh, my God.
But again, the weird thing about having a book is, even doing it, then after it was published and printed, I thought, I can't believe I didn't put that. There's probably...
Sequel.
I wouldn't go that far. Where the last chapter, where is he now? Or something. But
we all still live in a Perry Rose world.
He's still alive. So I won't tell that story out. Sorry.
But I mean, the Anders Limper one is the one that we are...
We have to talk
about. Oh, was that prank. When he was a kid?
No. This takes it to a new level. Can I read it?
Of course.
If you don't mind. It was a break to remember too for our defender Colin Pates. He was fast asleep in the reception area about 1 a.m. when Anders Limper came up to us with a handful of little stones he'd taken from the flower pots around the foyer. He looked at Colin and said he was going to put them in his foreskin. No build-up, just straight away.
I think the fact that he announces he's going to do it makes it that much weirder.
Yeah.
I love the idea of being like, hey guys, here's what I'm going to do.
Then if you don't mention it, he starts unzipping it.
No,
because it could
this
be...
This is why you're bad at pranks.
That's true,
misconstrued, couldn't it, that he was doing it?
He's not doing anything weird. He's just putting little stones in his foreskin.
That's all right then.
Oh, that's
Carry
fine.
Carry
go
on.
Ahead, mate.
But you need a bit of... Maybe he just thought, I need a bit of backup.
Okay, oh, sure.
Right. In case acceptable, me thinking.
Yeah. Was he expecting everyone to go, let's definitely do that?
Well, no, the thing is, we're like, that is so... unacceptable, but that made it funnier.
Then he went over to Patesy, carefully undid his trousers and delicately placed the tiny stones around his foreskin.
It's the care with which it's done.
Oh yeah, he made sure.
Wait, you're gonna wake him up.
Yeah. Also, one you don't, but he was out of it completely. So then it's like being anaesthetized. You know you're done.
Uh-huh.
But you got to think the detail went in because all the stones in the plant pot aren't the same size. So he's got to be quite selective.
Is it like
of the size of the stones, isn't he?
Is it like a surgeon? He's got like sort of someone being like, I need a golf player. Being
exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah. No.
Right. Yeah. He's a caddy.
So there was a quality control going on.
Who was in charge of quality control?
Anders.
Wow. Next morning, Baldy came down and said, I wouldn't want anyone who did that. If he finds out, he'll rip their head off. And Pacey came down. I said, wasn't me. Understand?
I was his first point of call, obviously.
That always seems like a dangerous thing to say. So yeah. Someone comes in and you immediately say, it wasn't me.
The shaggy excuse. Yeah. And we pointed out, whoever did it, it wasn't personal. Not personal. Pointing stones in my foreskin. It's about... What else can we say?
So weird. By the way, he didn't... If he would have found out who it was, he would have... Ripped their head. Honestly, so no, he was.
To this day, he doesn't know it's Anders.
Well, he does now, but.
Did Anders Limber call you?
Oh, no, he was. Anders was shitting himself because he knew.
Really?
Yeah, he knew. He was like, Pates is old school. He's like, how dare another man put his hand on my knob, basically. Sure. That is the.
That's not even just old school, that's everyone.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but like, yeah, it seems fair enough.
He's particularly.
Yeah, right. And it's normally a week later you go, oh, by the way, Pates, you know that. It was him, but.
You can take those stones out now.
Yeah, but.
Obviously, you can't talk about the Arsenal chapter without mentioning you win the league twice.
Yes.
Of course. But that game against Liverpool, the FIFA pitch match, it's probably the most famous finish Premier League history, first division history, apart from maybe the Aguero one. Both.
I don't think Aguero touches it.
Okay.
It's the top two playing against each other.
Right. It's because the Man City were playing against QPR.
Yeah.
Right. No one could stop Man City.
Yeah.
Whereas Liverpool could stop us and we could stop Liverpool.
Sure.
So in that same game, and they just won the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And with emotions of the Hillsborough tragedy from before.
Yeah.
So where I was like, there's a lot of people who think that football only started in 1992 because of the Premier League.
Like me.
Yes. Right. Yeah. It's not just, obviously, I'm going to be biased because I'm a gooner.
Sure.
But it's not just because of that. I think it was just the context of the game.
Mm.
It's completely different
to the
Man City one. Yeah, so.
But because George Graham says he put you on to, like, cause havoc.
Run around and be a nuisance.
Yeah.
That was it.
Do you think about it every day? Because if I...
No, not really. No,
really?
It's quite good when other people... Because we had a DVD came out. It was the... Was it 30-year anniversary?
Sure.
And even if... Obviously, Gooners loved the DVD. He was obviously titled 89, which
is a real stretch. Well, too much.
But even... yeah, I must admit, I'd probably watch it of any other team, as long as it wasn't you lot. No, it was.
If
you're a sporting fan, that... Michael Thomas going through, obviously won the title, which is brilliant, but it can be a completely different story if he doesn't score.
It's the last minute.
It's the last, and I'm standing on the right wing just looking at him, and I say, when people ask me about it, and I'm not in a million years saying I was a great sportsman, but the great sportsmen say at the pivotal times in games, moment, it could be a tennis player, it could be a golfer, that it goes in slow motion because people think that you panic. But they don't. They slow themselves down. Do you know what I mean?
And they
can then have a clarity of thought in the moment. But it did seem like it was slow motion. It did, watching it, seem like when he's got broke through, you know, from just inside their half.
Yeah.
And running and running and running. And you're thinking, shoot, Tom, for fuck's sake, shoot, shoot. And it's like, gets you out of your box. I think you've got Ray Houghton behind him. You've got Steve Nicol coming in.
Yeah.
And you think, shoot, shoot, shoot. And Tomo said what went through his head was he'd missed a sitter 15 minutes before that from the edge of the box.
Yeah.
He couldn't have fallen to anybody better, because if he'd have missed it, Tomo wouldn't give a shit. He wouldn't have ruined his life.
Sure.
If I'd have missed it, what you're saying now, I'd have been thinking about it every hour.
I was like, if you'd missed it, you'd have been thinking about it all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because
it was a chance to win.
Because he'd missed the chance before and he'd taken his shot too early, as he's going through, he's thought processing. You know, I'm talking like 3-4 seconds. He's thinking, don't shoot too early. Don't shoot too early. Mm. Wait till he goes down. Wait till he goes right.
It's
the best, I think, again, it's definitely the best Arsenal goal that's ever been scored because of what it meant.
Sure.
And the time he had to think. That's the difference of the thought. How many times do you see people go through one-on-ones?
Yeah.
And they miss
so long.
Because they got too many tucks.
Exactly.
And he was like, and if you notice, as he goes through, he waits for Bruce, if you watch it again, I'm tingling now, but he waits for Bruce Grobler's body weight just to go.
Yeah.
To the right hand side.
Yeah.
And then he flicks it.
Yeah.
Oh, right. And he waits and waits. And I said, "Why'd you wait?" He went, "I just want him to know that he couldn't go." And Bruce Grobler thought that he had him. He said, because he got so close to him.
Yeah.
And he stood. Again, he didn't overcommit himself. Normally goalkeepers run out, don't they? And he said he thought that he'd had him. And he said he couldn't believe that he flicked it over him. And Ray Houghton said that when he was running through, again, how he was thinking, he could have brought him down. Yeah. Like when he was thinking he missed a chance earlier. Yeah, he's scoring.
Sure, so that's why he's maybe. So all
these thoughts are going through people's heads.
Because it would be better to.
Yeah, exactly. And Tomo's just like the calmest and coolest out of everybody. Just that's like, and it wouldn't bother. It would, like, me and Merce talk about it quite a bit, and we'd have had nightmares and, you know,
sure,
not slept.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And you would remember that for the rest of your life. And Tom would have been like, oh, at least I got there.
And in the book, you talk about how it's sort of, you know, the chances of you winning beforehand, you say it's two options, it's slim or it's none.
Mm.
And like, there were no celebrations planned because it just wasn't expected to happen.
No.
Like, I mean, that's crazy. The idea of driving down the on a coach on the motorway, coming back after beating Liverpool and then getting back to London and being like, is there anywhere open?
Yeah.
We just won the league. I mean...
But we got a call from a nightclub called Winners, randomly, like in Southgate.
And they're like, okay, we've nailed it. We haven't had a name like...
You were going to go to Losers otherwise.
They were there prepared. All losers.
No, it wasn't exactly called Bottlers. That's what it was. That's where it was going to go to. I think, again, George Graham needs a lot of credit because he did stuff... He read a book called... I think it's A Naked Ape or something like that. And he said it was about territory and and psyche of apes and obviously where they live and all that sort of stuff, their territory, and obviously how it's evolved into humans, and humans are very much the same.
Yeah.
And he just said that we were going into enemy territory. He didn't want to go up the night before. We thought Arsenal being tight because sometimes they can be a bit tight.
Sure, yeah.
But he said he didn't want to go up the night before and then check into a hotel and have loads of Liverpool fans and scouts. I know you're going to get hammered tomorrow. You're in our patch. You've got no chance. Have that negativity of a night before, waking up in the morning, negativity. You're the enemy. He wanted us basically in, do the job, and out. So it's very good psychology.
Also from there, you know, getting to 0-0 at half time. Like, it must have had a very surreal match because of...
George, the gaffer, never ever, in any other game that I played in, at half time, that was the only time he never slaughtered anybody.
Wow.
Ever. And he said, if we score, he said, I really believe. And he was the only, to be honest, I've heard Tony Adams say that he thought he'd torn out of his backside rodders. So no one, we thought we could win, but by two goals,
it
was unheard of.
Yeah. Do you think Liverpool were going to get a goal?
Yeah, because they had, like, well, John Barnes, like Ian Rush and Peter Beardsley. Yeah.
Huge team.
Exactly, yeah. And it's like, footballers, we ain't clever enough to think about that stuff. But until after.
Yeah, then you kind of realise why...
You realise...
All the emotions going through your head. You haven't got time to process those kind of things.
No,
as well,
and even afterwards, there's loads of really good pictures. Because I tried to do Steve Nicol. Again, what I was thinking, because we still had 2 minutes
unscored.
They had an attack.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't even remember, the ball drops out of the air and Tom just flicks it back. I mean, you should be hoofing it clear. And just, but I, in my head, my thought process was going, in the old days, if you got booked, you got a letter from... the FA telling you got booked, and how in the old days it was points as well. You got 4 points for dissent or whatever, 3 points for a late tackle.
Okay.
So in my head I was thinking, oh, that'd be great if I can do Steve Nicol and take him out and I get a booking. I'm going to get a letter from the FA for that game.
Yeah.
Framed. Do you know what I mean? And I slid him, he jumped over me and I was bollocks. Yeah. And
then, you should have sworn to the ref after that.
Yeah, exactly. Then then obviously the final whistle went. And again, if you you look at the celebration, obviously being a Spurs fan, you ain't going to look at the celebration.
Yeah, I've been recently.
But it's just everybody just ran everywhere. No one knew what to do.
Yeah.
No one knew.
I'm sure.
It's just not
expected. Also something I'm not very used to, watching a team celebrate winning something.
A trophy. Exactly.
Hey, I was at Wembley when we won the League Cup.
Yeah. We won the Audi Cup in the pre-season this year.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
It's been quite lucky because I think fans know that I'm a gooner. And then they, I must admit, with the book, I think they read the book, and the way that I played was, if they had the chance to play for their boyhood club, they would play like I did.
And
run around, and because I wasn't the most natural kid. Like, fans can't think, I'd have been like Thierry Henry, because Spurs camp, because they do stuff that you're born naturally to do. And no matter how much you practice, you ain't doing it.
Sure.
Whereas with me, they probably thought, if I played, I'd have to run around like an idiot, like Grovesy. That's what I'd have to do. That'd be my ring.
Yeah.
So I think there's that. So, and to a extent as well, Ray Parlour's very, very popular.
Sure. Yeah,
and he obviously had a great career. But they look at the Romford Pelé and they look at him and think, that's our RB.
Yeah, sure.
I'd have to give everything.
Yeah.
You know, which Ray did. Person. Exactly, be that person, exactly. So,
have you read Ray's autobiography?
No. It's reading other footballers' autobiographies, I can tell within the first chapter or two chapters.
Yeah.
One, if it's going to be any good, and two, if they're talking out their ass.
We should send you the first two chapters of every book you read.
Yeah, no, just
do. Telling us the stones in the foreskin was real.
100%.
Is that going to be a full chapter in the book?
The thing
book
is,
will be, yeah.
But you can't make stuff like that up, can you?
Yeah. Oh, wait, yeah. I don't know how he'd thought of it.
And it's weird.
That's exactly all you've been thinking about for the past, like,
literally,
half an
yeah.
hour.
Yeah. It's been stuck in my head for days.
It is remarkable.
Can I play a little game with you?
Go on, Harry.
The game is called
it's
Real
Book. It's not table football, is it?
It's not table football. Yeah. Believe me, you'll be quaking in your boots.
If it just happens to have.
I've got one here. Bring it out, boys. It's called Real Book, Fake Book. I'm going to give you some names of football autobiographies. You have to tell me if you think it's a real book
all
or
right.
one we've just made up.
Okay.
Sounds kind of fun, right?
Yeah, we'll go. from where James, you're sitting, maybe.
Yeah. James really likes the idea that people tell them that it's fun.
Yeah, okay.
This is fun. You're having fun, right?
You need to be reassured. If you think it's a real autobiography, say real. If you think it's fake, say fake.
Right.
Makes sense. Number one, Lee McCulloch, Simply the Best.
Fake.
It's real.
It is real.
Lee McCulloch was what they called Simply the Best.
Simply the Best.
I think he's over egging his face a little bit there. And, I mean, again, I might be doing him a disservice because he might not have had any choice on the title, like I didn't.
Right, I find it hard to believe that a publisher would have been like, we've got to call it Simply the Best.
Because that is a little bit of lack of self-awareness. Yeah. There's no sort of self-deprecation.
Like you calling your book, I Am Perry Good. Which was the one that
titles. Yeah, that was one that got.
Liam Ridgewell, Get Rich or Die Trying.
That's fake.
Yeah, that's fake. Yeah. He's got that right. Shay Given, Any Given Saturday.
I think that is fake as well.
It's real.
Oh, is it? Oh, right.
You have to remember, a lot of footballers have terrible pun titles.
Yeah. They love the puns.
Yeah. But that's all right, because that's Shay again. He's not saying how great he is.
No, that's true. That's all right.
It's just using the fact that his name is Given.
Yeah.
Frank, it's harder than you thought, right, this game?
Yes, go on. So, sorry. And I've got to be honest, probably a little bit more less interesting.
Question four coming up.
Only 30 to go. Frank Lampard, totally
Where
frank.
Where those crows? Crows back.
Totally frank, Frank Lampard.
I think that is real.
It is real.
Yes, all right. Good, yes.
Gareth Barry, Snog Barry Avoid Relegation.
You've made that one up. And you, the thing is, well, you went and you seem quite pleased with yourself as well.
It was James.
Because then, by the way, if there's some a player out there who would not snog, it would be Gareth Barry. He would be in that 10%.
Wait, straight batters. What would not snog?
Well, no,
ever.
No, it's probably snog his wife.
Okay,
but that's a play on. I'm a bit of a player, isn't it?
Snogger. True.
And well, Gareth Barry would be a straight batter.
Or it's like snog Barry, avoid relegation.
Yeah.
Like if you snog me, you'll avoid relegation.
like kissing the Blarney Stone.
Yeah. He's good luck.
Tim Krul, Cruel Intentions.
That was a film, wasn't it? I think
it was. Sorry,
I'll say fake.
Yeah, that's fake. Yeah, right. Mesut Ozil.
Actually, that Cruel Intentions. It's one of the few films I've actually walked out from.
Didn't like it.
No. Weren't happening for me at all.
Did you see it at the Everyman Chance?
No, it wasn't. It was in the Odeon in Colchester, actually.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I don't think I've seen it.
I haven't seen it either. Tim Krul does not turn up.
I'm not watching.
It's really sad, yeah.
Mesut Ozil, Gunning for Greatness.
No, fake.
That's real.
Really?
It's one of those ones I think they brought out just when he signed.
Oh, right, okay.
And it's like, I'm really looking forward to being here.
That was the one they gave out with the membership.
I don't know. There's been many bullets in that gun.
Alan Hansen, Cop.
See, I don't think Alan Hansen, Bop, obviously, is your analogy, so I don't think the one's to pick.
I think Alan Hansen was desperate to make that pun for his whole life. They were like, please don't call it Bop.
So I'm going to guess you're going to say
you
fake.
You can call me out, probably.
That would be good.
Yeah, that would be good.
And finally, Terry Grouse, Our Grouse in the Middle of Our Street, the Terry Grouse story.
Oh, that's real. That's the next one that's coming out.
I'm so excited for that one.
Yeah. That's 7 out of 9. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good. Know your football autobiographies.
Terry.
Do you have fond memories of Southampton in general?
Not really.
Okay.
No. It's quite funny because I go back and do, lucky enough again, to do co-commentaries for TalkSport.
So, okay, yeah.
And obviously they bought me for $750,000, snapped my Achilles tendon after twice, scored 2 goals, so $375,000 a goal.
Yeah.
It's not really value for money. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure... The car park attendant there, I think, I've been there the last 2 seasons to do a couple of games, mm-hmm. and he's charging me a tenner rather than a five. I think he's trying to... I think they're trying to
make the money back.
So we got cats, we got OAPs...
St John's Ambulance.
And the person who runs the car park
attendant. So now they're only 749,980 quid.
Exactly. How many more commentaries are you doing this season?
Well, I'll have to go on to be one of those senile old twats from the United States.
We respect the elderly here at Football Book Club.
Yeah, but after you retire, obviously, and it's tough. But it's the book, the way you write about it is really, it must have been a difficult time to go through retiring at 28, around that age.
Yeah.
You talk about how you worked cold calling for a bit.
Yes, about 8 years. Yeah, we're doing like.
You were doing it for 8 years?
Direct sales. My mate, Ray May's top man, he had a franchise company, so I'd it'd be anything from flapjacks to fruit flavoured mineral water to CDs to batteries to whatever. So that's the real world.
I guess and throwing yourself into something is probably quite a good thing because we talked about a few other footballers who haven't necessarily, who kind of lose that they're training up until like, you
it's,
know, 35.
It's the routine,
and,
I suppose,
yeah, they lose the routine. Yeah. They struggle
it's a bit of your, you can be institutionalised, not in a horrible way because that's all you know. That's all you. But then I would say there's a lot of footballers who they are 50% the footballer and 50% the person. Mm. And when the footballer goes, they're half the person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
I was never like, I was like, I've got the same mates from when I was at school, from when I was 6 or 7, who are my best mates. And then...
So it's just a part of your life, the way...
That was a part, yeah. So the whole thing, it's not a big void there, because I used to go and have my mates that I went out when I was younger, and about around Colchester and Sudbury, I grew up, Suffolk, whatever. Yeah. And then my family, who I'm very close to, live up in Massingham.
Yeah. Nowadays, you also run in there and play with a legend.
Yes,
right?
I started it with Josh Landy, who I knew from working for Sports Night Live. And then I went, Nigel Winterburn and myself went and played in a stag football game.
Yep.
And we had a good time. Nigel played in one team, I played in the other. A few beers in the bar afterwards, I had a laugh. Because I'd had the idea, there's definitely a germ of a business here somewhere, you know, because it went down. It doesn't matter, not just Arsenal, but it ranges from, you know, like top players like Teddy Sheringham, whatever, who, you know, if Spurs fan, if you're Man United fan, you're fake, we get him to play five sides.
Yeah.
But then it still goes all the way down. Torquay fan, whatever your favourite player
really
is.
Yeah,
and, but it still has the same effect as whether it be Thierry Henry turning up for.
Yeah, of course.
It's all
if
the way through.
If you get Nasser Chadli and the Spurs ones, I'll be.
Well, there you go. You're all over it like a bad rash.
Yeah.
So we could have that. We could set that up in Brussels if you want. It's up.
He's playing Anderlecht.
Yeah. So
I'll do it. So you're happy, but you're happy with everything that you're doing now. TalkSport and everything. It sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, it's season to season. Like, you know, whether you get a contract next year, and there's players that. Because I'm getting older now, and there's players that come out. Every time I see a player retire who's quite a high name, I think, oh, please don't go to media.
Yeah. sure.
It doesn't mean if you're any good.
Yeah.
They want them because they're recent names.
Yeah, right? Of course. Yeah.
So for me, if I can cling on as long as possible, then great, because I love it. I genuinely enjoy doing it. I mean, doing something that you love doing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's brilliant. Yeah. That's brilliant that football's given like so much as well.
Yeah, but you've got to realise, I think you've got to know that you are in a lucky position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think you have to realise this is proper privilege getting paid. Do you know what I mean? To talk out your backside. Do you know what I mean?
Then you get to come chat to us in an
conference
and get attacked,
like
tapped by crows.
Yeah, like the birds out of the TikTok.
Imagine this is the last media thing you ever did because you got attacked by crows.
So yes.
It went the way I wanted to. We're going to end the show on a quiz, as we always do.
Yeah.
You should know all the answers to this, Perry. But
I actually think you will, because you definitely know these. I feel like some people read do their books and they're like, oh, what did I say that? I can't remember.
Chris Kamara hasn't read his own book, apparently.
He probably didn't write it. Yeah.
I mean, it'd be really weird if he hadn't read it, but he did write it. It'd be sort of like eyes closed.
This week, you're named after stops in the Abellio, Greater Anglia, Ipswich, London route. So, Perry, you're obviously Colchester.
Right.
Jack, you're Braintree Freeport. And Braintree-Freeport. James, you're Clapton-on-Sea.
I live in Ipswich. Manningtree or Stowmarket?
You're Stowmarket.
Can I be Stowmarket?
Stowmarket. Okay. I mean, it doesn't matter. Question one. What was Colchester kitman Albert Danzy's claim to fame?
Oh, Stowmarket.
Oh,
did he?
You got them before Perry.
I know.
Colchester.
I love quizzes, and I'm a bit of a nerd. Didn't he go out with Margaret Thatcher?
Is that correct, Perry?
I think he went to school with Margaret Thatcher.
Oh, I think you said he went out with
her.
You were unsure whether he was lying or not, I think was the thing.
Yeah.
I remember reading that and being like,
both
might have had sex with Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
Might be a thing.
What was Perry's first weekly wage on an apprentice contract at Colchester?
what was the wage?
Colchester. Exactly.
This is the problem with the naming convention.
At Colchester, I haven't got a stutter. Yeah. £17 a week.
That is correct.
I mean, you'd remember a thing like that, wouldn't you?
What does Paul Merson mistakenly call a conservation area?
Colchester.
Yeah.
Oh.
Constellation area.
That is correct.
Oh, yeah, because I don't think that was a particularly good one.
And finally, I think you're going to get this, Perry. Some Cockney rhyming slang challenge. What are Mars bars?
Oh, God.
Colchester. Scars.
Is correct. I can't remember who you talk about having scars.
Yeah,
but
I remember again thinking, well, that's a good Cockney rhyming slang.
Took me a little while to figure it out.
Got loads of Mars bars all over his face. Been playing with ketchup. You got
Perry, you've absolutely smashed the quiz. You've won. Well done. Congratulations. And thank you so much for chatting to us today.
Yeah, been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, it's been brilliant. It's been really, really great. Make sure, guys, to go out and buy the red version.
The red version. Don't do what we did.
Yeah. Don't fall prey and give that person in Lincoln too clear like I did. Anything you want to give a shout out to?
No, talking about prey, I'm just going to get rid of those birds of prey now.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Get pest control.
I think we live here now.
Anyone has thoughts on the books? If you've read it or you want to read along, message us reviews. Follow us at Footy Book Club on Twitter, Football Book Club on Instagram. Review the podcast, subscribe, follow us. Any last words, anyone?
There's a second book that I brought out as well, actually. I can plug that. It was my all time, because they got carried away. Blake Publishing got a bit carried away with the set. That went, oh no, dude, you do your all time greatest players.
Yeah.
But obviously, my take on all time greatest players. So, like, Pelé's in there, and I give my, on Peter Shilton different ones, and Terry Urlock's in there, whatever. And they thought, oh, and I got more an advance for that one than what I did for that one. And within 2 weeks, it was in Poundland. It was a bargain. Didn't really. So I actually think I owe Blake Publishing money.
Okay, we should really go out and buy that.
Yeah. You want to come out next week and talk about that?
I think it's called Football Heroes. I think it's called.
You don't know the title?
I think it is. I might be wrong, but I think.
Well, that's the rest of the series sorted. We're going to do that.
Done.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thank you, Perry.
Pleasure.
And we'll see you all soon. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Jack Bernhardt, James Baldwin, and Perry Groves. It was created and produced by James Bug. Thanks to Perry Groves for writing the book and coming on the show. Thanks to Anders Limper for taking pranks to strange new places. And thanks to St. John's Ambulance, who are a fine institution and we mean no ill towards them or old people in general. Next week, we'll be reading Sean Goater's Feed the Goat. If you want to read along in the meantime, please do. Hey, we're all looking for things to do at the moment. Otherwise, stay safe. Make sure you share, review, and subscribe. RIP Duke's Nightclub, Chelmsford. Goodbye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.